You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Let's begin with a Hail Mary, shall we? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I want to share something with you before we continue our broadcast about worry. If you want to live longer, take a vacation. 40 years after a study of middle-aged male executives who each had a risk of heart disease, researchers in Helsinki, Finland, followed up their study participants. The scientists discovered that something they hadn't been looking for in their original findings. The death rate was lower among those who had taken time off for vacations. Work is a necessary part of life, a part God appointed to us even before our relationship with Him was fractured in Genesis 3. Solomon wrote of the seeming meaningless of work experienced by those not working for God's honor, recognizing its anxious striving and grief and pain. Even when they're not actively working, he says, their minds do not rest because they're thinking about what still needs to be done. We too might at times feel like we're chasing after the wind and grow frustrated by our inability to finish our work. But when we remember that God is part of our labor, our purpose, we can both work hard and take time to rest. We can trust Him to be our provider, for He's the giver of all things. Solomon acknowledges that without Him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Perhaps by reminding ourselves of that truth, we can work diligently for Him and also allow ourselves time for rest, right? In Ecclesiastes, it's penned by the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem, and he seeks to answer life's greatest mystery. How can one live a meaningful and purposeful life? And if trapped between birth and death, he explores the area after area of life, of all that humanity can pursue. Knowledge, intellectual pleasures, happiness, accomplishments, material possessions. To show that a life without God, life under the sun, is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. He discusses human labor, concluding that work without God is pointless, joyless, worrisome, and miserable. Brothers and sisters, we've been talking about worry, and you have to realize that you must be aware of who you allow to influence your mind. So if your friends regularly talk about what's wrong in the world and how anxious they are about tomorrow, they will no doubt take you down a path of worry. So you have to prepare yourself now to combat worry. So choose your friends well, as in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Set a guard over your mind. Don't be influenced by anxious friends. Determine to build relationships with people who lift you up, point you to Christ, and pray for you when you share your fears. That's a different kind of friend. And finally, be the type of friend who helps others combat worry with God's truth. Know Scripture so well that when He gives you opportunity, you'll be able to share with others biblical accounts of God's faithfulness. And know your own story. Take time to consider God's goodness and be ready to give an account of His faithfulness in your own life, in history, and in what He has promised will come to pass. Let it begin with you, friend, and forget not His benefits. And pour courage into this generation who is so desperate to believe that upon Jesus they can cast their cares, because He truly cares for them. So, how do we stop worrying and begin living? I heard a story recently about a little boy who was afraid of gorillas. And in his fear, and maybe you're afraid of gorillas too, right? But I guess this little guy was, you know, had maybe an experience where he had been taken aback, maybe at a zoo, or maybe the gorilla approached him and out of curiosity, but the boy was, traumatized, I'm not sure. But he was afraid of gorillas. And in his fear, the little boy convinced himself that a gorilla actually lived underneath his bed. Poor guy. And that the gorilla would eat him when he slept. Well, if that poor little thing thinks like that, how much sleep is that little guy getting? So night after night, the little boy slept with his blankets over his head, believing that if the gorilla couldn't see him, he wouldn't eat him. And even though that little boy would get very hot and sweaty while under his covers, he continued to sleep that way, night after night. He just knew that keeping those covers over his head would keep the gorilla from eating him while he was sleeping. Well, of course, this little boy grew up and got over his fear of gorillas. But when you think about it, don't you and I act exactly like this little boy when we decide to worry? Because the fact is, we usually worry about things that really aren't there. In our own fear and lack of faith, we irrationally anticipate the worst. And as a result, we start to sweat and panic, all because of something that never really ends up coming to pass. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon likens worry and anxiety to a weight. Remember I talked about this? A weight that weighs a man down. Oh my gosh. And I would like you to take some time to think about what gorillas in your life are weighing you down. You know, as a mother and a daughter, and one day hopefully a grandmother, I can tell you there's plenty of life to worry about, plenty in life to worry about. But you know what? As believers, Scripture doesn't give us the option to worry. Nowhere in the Bible does it give us the permission to fret. In fact, Jesus asks us in Luke chapter 12, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?" If you struggle with the issue of worry in your life today, and who doesn't from time to time, I want to give you some encouragement. I want to help show you how to stop worrying and really start living. Well, as you know, worrying involves your thought life. So I want you to think about your thought life as a corral. Everything within that corral is what you know to be true. But as we go through life, it's easy to let our thoughts wander out of the corral and into the territory of worry and anxiety. That's why, brothers and sisters, you and I have to build strong fences around the corral of our thought life. And how do we build those fences? Well, with the truth of the Word of God. The only way to stop worry dead in its tracks is to attack it with Scripture. I've listed some very helpful Bible verses that speak directly to the subject of worry. And so as you read these verses, I encourage you to commit each one to memory, to start building fences around your mind. A great passage to begin with is the one that's very familiar to you. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 8. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whenever your mind, my friends, is tempted to jump the fence and start to worry, say this verse out loud to yourself. You may even have to repeat it over and over and over again. Eventually, the truth of God's word will redirect your thinking, and you, my dear brothers and sisters, will learn to live without the weight of worrying tying you down. You can stop worrying and really start living. And it's my prayer that God will encourage your heart with this promise today. So I'm going to list some verses. You grab a pencil, or if you have a pen and paper, that would be really good. I'll give you 1 second. All right. And besides, when this broadcast is over, our wonderful program director will archive it, and you'll be able to find it on the website on radiomaria.ca. And look for the Father's Quilt, and this broadcast will be called Worry Phobia. Okay, so you'll know what to look for. It'll be two parts, because you can see we had it last time and this time, Worry Phobia. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. John, you don't have to write the whole Philippians, just write P-H, you'll know, P-H-I-L-I. Next one, John 14, verse 27. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Psalms 27, verse 1. Psalms 34. Proverbs 18, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. That's it. Hold on to those, brothers and sisters. Well, I know that some of you might even be worried about the present times, right? A little over a year ago, we had the first case of COVID-19 in the United States, as a matter of fact, and in Canada. And in the early days of the pandemic, I felt a great need to talk about the words of hope and encouragement in these troubled times in my broadcasts, and you'd find those. And while I affirm that Christians must exemplify faith and peace now more than ever, so many months of social unrest and political turmoil and a general sense of uncertainty surrounding lockdowns, vaccines, government mandates, the economy, and these COVID variants are enough to chip away at anyone's hope and cheer. So how can Christians, we as Christians, exemplify faith and peace when we are so tired and tested by the storms of life? This is a question we must continue to ask God for help in managing. But how can believers also find hope and the courage to persevere in a season of strife that many feel is only getting worse? Brothers and sisters, there is hope. So here's what I want you to do. Hold on to hope and find courage in the days and the weeks to come. First of all, prioritize gratitude and worship over fear. The Apostle James wrote that the testing of our faith produces perseverance, and for this reason, we should find joy in the trials of life. But let's be honest. Telling someone to rejoice when they've just lost a loved one to COVID, or being laid off, evicted, or silenced might not provide much comfort in the moment. Paul writes, however, that blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. When our circumstances change and challenges arise that test our faith, God reminds us to look to Him for comfort and strength, praising Him in the good times and the bad. It isn't easy, but the prophet Habakkuk wrote that even if the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vines, even the yield of the olive falls and the fields produce no food, even if the flock disappears from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will still triumph in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. When we're able to thank God for all He has done and praise Him for His faithfulness, even in our struggles, our worship places God's power and goodness above our circumstances. Worship keeps our perspective on what God is doing, can do, and will do instead of us trying to control our situation or overcome our fear and sadness of our own. Worship and gratitude become like water and sunlight in our lives. They are the attitudes that allow hope to grow and flourish. Then, brothers and sisters, number two, make time to rest. I'm not saying, oh, I've got no job, I am resting, what do you think I'm doing? No, this is a different kind of rest, a different kind. We are so bombarded, right? But make no mistake, there are troubles in this world and reasons to be concerned about the state of our country. As Christians, we should never be uninformed or retreat from cultural conversations or the world we are called to love. However, a mind that is constantly plugged into anxiety of breaking news, of trending topics and politics, well, guess what? They lose their perspective in the power and the sovereignty of God. Whether it's politics, whether it's COVID, whether it's finances or the future that is the source of your anxiety, Jesus said, seek first, His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So don't, it says, do not worry about tomorrow, because each day has enough trouble of its own. Paul mirrored this idea when he wrote that whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, if anything is excellent, remember, think about such things. That's in Philippians 4, verse 8. There is power in the goodness and the promises of God. We can foster hope through prayer and worship. But part of developing the peace and confidence to rise above even the craziest moments of our life involves taking time to rest and reconnect with Christ on a daily level. On several occasions, Jesus stepped away from his disciples to rest in the presence of the Father. It wasn't a break from his ministry. Prayer and rest were an essential part of his ministry. And if Jesus took time to rest, how much more should we? We can't be afraid to schedule breaks in our busy schedule, to unplug from social media and our phones. After all, would we rather be constantly plugged into the news or the knowledge of God? Where do we actually find hope for tomorrow and joy for today? Where? So commit to seeking and speaking the truth. In the last days, Christians must be committed to seeking and speaking the truth, examining everything with spiritual discernment and a critical eye. We can't afford to be blind or naive or misled by deceptive ideologies and the wisdom of the world any longer. Paul instructed the Thessalonian church to examine everything carefully and to hold on to all that is good. He also wrote to the Colossians church to see that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition rather than on Christ. And then to the Ephesian church, he said, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, don't be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the world. Live as children of light. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." Lies are exposed by the truth, just as darkness is driven away by the presence of light. We know as believers who the prince of darkness is and who thrives on human ignorance, deception, and chaos, and division. We also know who is the light of the world. This is why Jesus told his followers to let your light shine. He said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Though opposition and persecution are to be expected, Christians are called to be strong and courageous in every season, proclaiming, as Paul did, the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Thankfully, Jesus prayed for his disciples, asking God, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Christians must hold to the truth found in the word of God. And let this wisdom, my friends, shape your discernment and understanding of current events. The truth is also, as Paul referred to it, the belt that holds up the armor of God and the weaponry that accompanies it. Christians would be unwise to go into battle without it. The Apostle Paul often prevented from meeting with churches and believers in person. Was often prevented from that, but this didn't stop him from writing to fellow believers or praying for them wherever he was. Christians today should also be willing to use the tools and technology at their disposal to encourage fellow believers and communicate the truth of God's love to the world. But we also must recognize the importance of fellowship, corporate worship, and union with the body of believers. These should never be neglected or abandoned. God created us to be in relationship, not spending time with others, especially other Christians. Can be actually detrimental to one's health and spiritual growth. And you realize that, brothers and sisters, right? So being isolated as a believer, you become more susceptible to spiritual attack and even defeat. And there's, even though many earthly authorities have ordered churches to close, this should never be an excuse for believers to disconnect from the body of Christ. So, you know, tap into Zoom, brothers and sisters, or phone each other, email each other, you know, keep in touch with other Christian believers like yourself. Don't lose touch. Don't feel that you're all alone, and if you say, well, I'm the one, why should I be the one to start? That's okay. It doesn't matter who makes that first move, but make it, okay? Christians must find a safe and creative way to stay in fellowship. The Bible says we are to rejoice with those who rejoice, right? And to help those who are discouraged and out of work. Paul wrote, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. The Apostle John also wrote, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Lastly, brothers and sisters, while it's expected that we're supposed to look to our leaders and medical experts for guidance during a pandemic, as Christians, we also need to remember where our hope truly lies. Politicians come and go. Experts make mistakes, and even trusted leaders can disappoint us and let us down. But humans can be foolish and even corrupt. But God, however, is not. For his promises are good, his power is unlimited, and his wisdom, like his kingdom, is eternal. Thankfully, we serve a God who is far more powerful than any ruler, any sickness, any obstacle, or any fear. As Paul wrote, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In Christ alone, our hope is found, and in his presence, we find the courage to carry on. Brothers and sisters, my dear brothers and sisters, may you be sanctified in the truth and abound in hope as you trust in the goodness of our God, now and always. Amen and amen to that. Brothers and sisters, thank you again for joining me. I hope you've enjoyed these last two broadcasts on worry phobia, because they were good for me. I certainly hope they did you some good, and you've written down those Bible scriptures and look them up, and if you can, learn to say them out loud, because the evil one hates it. So God bless you. Be strong in the Lord. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. If I had